Brandy Ambrosi. How are you?
I'm fine, Scott. It's always nice to be with you, by the way. So can I start by asking, is your family all safe and sound? You're all out of harm's way?
We are, and thank you very much for asking, and I would return the question to you as well.
Yeah, my guys are good. We're trying our best to, you know, to do the right things and help everybody else get through the crisis. But, Scott, we're all in this together. And, you know, we always talk about football being the ultimate team sport, but I think fighting this COVID virus is the ultimate team sport.
If we want nice things, we all have to work together. That's kind of the message we've been trying to send, and hopefully more people get on board. The schedule got announced today. You said on Monday, we're pretty optimistic we can do it. Was this the plan all along? You kind of knew this was in your hip pocket, Randy, or did things change?
Yeah, no, this was the plan. We you know, we had a couple of more details to attend to, but you know, we wanted to get the schedule out as quickly as we could. And you know, Scott, literally this week was about reminding ourselves how much we love our league, how much we love the game, how important it is to Canada. But it is really a look forward event. You know, how do we get past the, you know, the disappointment of not playing this year, but really about looking forward to getting back and playing in 21.
He's the commissioner of the Canadian Football League. Randy Ambrosi joins us here this morning. Obviously, health and safety is the biggest challenge to overcome, and that's not one you have any control over. We all have to be a part of that, and we hope that medical advances go the way they are trending right now with regards to a vaccine. Outside of that, Randy, what is the biggest obstacle to having a 2021 season?
Well, I really think that's it. Look, it's for us, you know, we've said this many times before, Scott. We're obviously a gate-driven league. You know, we'd like to get some fans back into our stadiums to cheer on the teams in 21. So that's an issue. We've been doing a lot of work on our business model. I'm happy to report that, you know, we've really, you know, figured out ways to work together better, to share resources more. I think that's going to really, really help us. But I think the central issue, as you properly described it, Scott, is the clearance from healthcare officials, get our players safely into training camps, and ultimately get fans safely into our stadiums. That's really what it's all about. And I do think, as I said on Monday, there was a good omen Monday morning before the fan state of the CFL when we had a second vaccine announcement. And I thought, well, I think that is the light at the end of the tunnel that we've all been hoping for.
You said share resources in that answer, and that was not revenue sharing. Where are the member clubs at on that issue with regard to revenue sharing as part of the business model moving forward?
Yeah, there's been a really healthy discussion. I think it's been something that we started looking at. We talked to all the leagues, try to really understand how do the leagues use a revenue model to really help them achieve their long-term goals. And we've gotten some, you know, great insights from, you know, the NHL and the NBA and other leagues, the NFL. And we've been working through several scenarios. Look, I think that there is such a good attitude amongst all of the teams that I feel optimistic that where there are opportunities to improve our business, we're going to take advantage of those as we come through a disappointing 20 and into 21.
You know a lot more about it than I do. You've seen the numbers. I have not. My perception, having been around this game a really long time, is that for the overall health of this league moving forward, that financial, for revenue sharing, I think it needs to be essential between clubs. Do you agree?
Well, I'm strongly advocating for it amongst our teams. The governors know that I'm strongly advocating for it, and I've made my case for it. We still haven't finalized the model, but I think everyone knows that this could really help us. We have to think more holistically about our league. We have to remember the old adage that the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. But I do believe my colleagues have all embraced that. So, yeah, Scott, look, again, one of the things, Winston Churchill famously said, never waste a good crisis. And I think we've really used this time to come to grips with areas of our business that, if we improve them, can go a long way to taking this league to heights of success that we've all aspired for.
I think you and I agree on this, and you might not characterize it the exact same way, but part of the issue with that and sharing resources and the potential for revenue sharing has been that as much as everybody talks about the Canadian Football League, to the large part, these operations have been silos, that they've worked for what's, hey, here's what's good for our team, and that's what we're going to do, and nobody's going to tell us differently. What is the most difficult barrier to break down amongst the constituents when it comes to that?
Well, you know, it's Scott, look, I think I might characterize it a little bit differently, but your thought process is not flawed. Look, at some level, we all struggle with change. You know, we have a certain way of doing things. We have habits that we rely on for our day-to-day lives, and, you know, we feels awkward or challenging. I think we are challenging each other now. This is the positive side of what you said. We're challenging each other to say, how can we do better? Let's forget the way we used to do it, and let's talk about the way we can do it. How do we take that next step? How do we take that big step into the future where we're working more together, competing on the field and cooperating off? And you know what, Scott, again, I'm happy to report that's been so been embraced by our teams, embraced by the governors, embraced by the team presidents. And I think we are making progress, but it is, you know, the barrier is almost always, it's that it's not the way we've done it in the past. And we just have to get everyone to take those first big steps in a new direction. And again, happy to report that our presidents and our governors have been very supportive of doing that exact thing.
In conversation with the CFL commissioner this morning, Randy Ambrosi joins us today. Obviously, the member clubs are not the only people that are a part of this. The players are a massive part of it as well. How would you characterize talks where they're currently at with the CFLPA?
Well, Scott, this may come as a surprise to you, but I've always felt very strongly that we have a great relationship with the players. I certainly have a great passion for them. I've never woken up once, not once, have I woken up in this job or before this job and not felt a passion for our players. I think there was a lot of disappointment and a lot of emotion this spring. And to a large degree, who can blame the players for feeling that way? Obviously, this is their livelihood we're talking about. And football careers tend to be short enough to begin with without losing a season to a virus. But I think the key here is that the players are not the enemy of this league. And the league is not the enemy of the players. The enemy in this context is this COVID crisis. And we need to figure out a way to do better. And that's the positive side of this is, I think we are having very, very positive discussions. We work well together this summer looking at that hub scenario. I thought the players represented themselves very well during that process. But look, make no mistake about it. We want to change the nature of our relationship with the players. We want to make it more and more positive. We want to make it more holistic. We want to make it more of a partnership and less transactional. And I think we can do that. We need to think of the players actively day in and day out as a more active partner in our business. And I think we can find our way to doing that by restructuring our relationships so that the players have a stake in our success. I believe that's been one of the barriers. Is that unless the players are kind of part of the revenue growth strategy, it's hard to motivate them to be our partner. I'd like very much to work with Brian and Ken and Solomon. I'd like to do as much as we can talking to each other about how do we build a new and better relationship, because I think the CFL will benefit from that, and I know and I believe in my heart that our players will benefit from that.
The trend with other successful pro leagues in North America is to have a revenue-sharing agreement between the owners and the players as well, and in the case of the NHL and the NFL and the NBA, that has taken on a percentage of revenue opportunity. Should there be a financial partnership in place in the CFL, whatever those percentages happen to be?
Yeah, I think that's largely what I'm describing. Again, I'm not going to negotiate with you over the phone, Scott, as great a guy as you are, and I even understand you're an above-average dancer, but I don't want to negotiate with you. But I would say it's almost exactly as you're describing it. I want to. I'd like to. I really would. I'd like for the players to be part of our revenue equation, because I think that creates an alignment of interests. I think that will be good for us in the long term. But we've talked to the players about that. And frankly, again, I would want to characterize the discussions we've been having with the PA as being very positive. I think they know we aren't their enemy, and I know they are not ours. Certainly at times, frustrations bubble to the surface. You can feel bad for 5 minutes, but then you have to get back to what you really want. And we just want to have a partnership with the players, and one where everyone can achieve success together.
Commissioner of the CFL, Randy Ambrosi, with us this morning on the Scott Rentoul Show. I'm a big believer that when you hit a crossroads like the CFL is at right now, that everything should be on the table for discussion. It doesn't mean everything has to change, but everything should at least be tabled for conversation. I'm guessing you agree with that. What about the game itself, Randy? Do you see aspects of the Canadian Football League game that need to change to improve the league moving forward?
Well, yeah, Scott, it's a great question. In fact, that's an inspired question. We could do an entire show on that. Look, one of the things I'm really excited about, I've seen this over the past many, many weeks. I think that the crisis has created for us a willingness to just be very open-minded. You know, how do we make the game better? How do we make it safer? How do we maybe make it faster? How do we help each other? The really great thing about this crisis, and I do think, Scott, it's about not wasting it, is to really just explore ways to take that next big step to make the game even more appealing to the existing fans and to welcome in a whole new group of fans. And Scott, one of the best parts of what I've seen in the past number of months is there's a real interest. There's a real willingness to explore new ideas. I think that's going to be good for us in the long haul. And maybe this is the perfect time with all that's gone on. Maybe it's the very best, nearly perfect time to consider ways to improve the game. So absolutely, I think that's going to be an outcome that will help to make the league stronger.
You're a former player, so you know this already, and you happen to be a Canadian as well. The word ratio comes up, and it becomes an instantly charged conversation. Should the ratio be a topic that is at least up for discussion?
You know, we as you said earlier, Scott, and again, can't and won't negotiate with you and talk about negotiations, but I think you said it. Look, I think when we sit down with the players, we should talk about everything, and we should do it in the most positive spirit. Scott, I am passionate about the Canadians that play in our league. I always have been, and I always will be. But as you said, look, we're going to start a conversation. We'll talk about everything. How do we make the game better? How do we make the game stronger? But again, I will never disrespect the PA. I will never talk about what I want from them or what I think they should do for us. In the media, because that's not good for my relationship with them. What I will say is I think the idea of building a partnership with them is noble. I think, frankly, it's what will ultimately help us to achieve long-term success. That I'm willing to say. I'm willing to say that I'd like to see the players participate in some form or fashion of our making together, to be part of our revenue equation, because I think that'll be good for everybody. I'm willing to say those things because I believe they're so fundamental and so positive. But as for commenting on other aspects of the CBI, I just won't do it, because it's not fair to the players, not fair to the CFL Players Association. And frankly, I expect more from myself and I just wouldn't do it to them.
So we've talked about the partnership the clubs have to have, the partnership between the league, the clubs, and the players. The fans are an important part of this partnership as well. You well know that. And fans, they like continuity. They want to know who the players are going to be cheering for year over year. We know there's roster churn. It's professional sports. But it has become increasingly difficult to see stability in organizations from a player standpoint. So here's another challenge. How do you balance keeping some prominent players in place year over year while still affording players that opportunity to take a shot somewhere else?
Yeah, Scott, this is probably one of the things I hear as I roam the stadiums and visit with fans. And as late as January and February and early March. I did my cross country roadshow. In fact, I finished the roadshow in Vancouver right before the COVID crisis hit. And I would say universally, roster stability comes up amongst our fans consistently. I've shared that with everybody that I've talked to. I think this is one of the things that our fans are hungry for. They want to see their favorite players and their stars and their heroes. They want to see them stay for a long time. So that is good. So that's the kind of thing that you share with each other. You share that we'd like a league and a business that's fan centric, as you put it, that this is something we all would like to see ourselves do better. And then what happens is that's what you work towards, because I do think it comes up in every fan group conversation that I have, is how do we get more stability? And I think it's an admirable goal to pursue, because I believe it could be great for the players. I think it would be great for the players. I also think it'd be great for the league. And most importantly, it'd be great for the fans. And the fans are the reason we exist.
Well, and as you said, you're not going to negotiate the CBA here. There have been people who've said, hey, maybe more guarantees in the contracts would help. What sweeteners can you put in for players that make them want to stay for longer and give them a sense of stability as well? When those discussions come up, do you have a lot of suggestions right now, whether it's from general managers or coaches or the players themselves?
Well, in fact, you know, this is how I think when we start this process, I think the spirit of a discussion has to be open-mindedness. I think the spirit of the discussion is don't say no until you understand how somebody else's idea might help us. I think the whole business of building that relationship that you talked about, Scott, is about listening to one another. You know, your mom might have said this. My mother said this all the time. You know, two ears, one mouth. Use them in that proportion, right? So, I think in order to get where we want to go, that's what we're going to have to be prepared to do, is be really good listeners. Hear each other. Talk to our coaches. Talk to our GMs. Make sure we're listening to the players. And exploring new ways to do better, think things in a better way for everyone's benefit.
You mentioned Vancouver. Obviously, the recent passing of David Braley has raised the conversation again about different ownership with the BC Lions. Do you have a timeline in mind?
Well, you know, the answer is no. What we know from David's the people that are managing David's estate, and first of all, you have to say, David, you know, we all owe David a debt of gratitude. He's a remarkable man, and I don't think this league would have been here the last 10 years without Mr. Braley. I had a personal relationship with David that I'll always cherish. But what we do know is that in the very short term, what David wanted is the BC Lions to play in 2021, that there's a commitment to making to doing everything they can to make that happen. And they've got other, you know, significant issues as it relates to David's estate. And they've said, when at the appropriate time, we'll sit down and talk about the future together. But for now, obviously, just knowing David's desire to see the BC Lions get back on the field in 21 is a pretty good place to start. And really, really happy to be part of that conversation, the next conversation when it happens.
And there have been plenty of them this week with Grey Cup Unite Week. It'll wrap up this weekend, and as you've been setting the stage for, then we'll look forward to 2021. We have already mentioned you do have to couch every conversation with health and safety being at the top of it, and that determining everything that happens next. Outside of that, what does your timeline look like for talking to owners, talking to the PA, and trying to set things in place for next year?
Yeah, you know, I listened to a program earlier this morning, and they were talking about us, and they talked about, you know, being more specific in our planning. And interestingly enough, Scott, I'd say obviously when, you know, if you're a math person, you know that solving an equation for one unknown variable is a relatively simple thing. But when you are trying to solve for multiple variables, it's quantums more difficult. I feel like today we're at the beginning of that place where now that we've started to see some of the treatments and some of the potential vaccines, I think maybe now is the time to start by talking to our public health officials. And not that we're asking them to give us an absolute answer to timing, but maybe they can give us some insights into how this whole thing will start to unfold in the months ahead. So that's a place to start. I think we have to build this now around a scenario, not multiple scenarios. One of our governors said, if you're planning for everything, you're planning for nothing. I think we now need to kind of focus in on a scenario that is scalable. So we use the public health conversations to really inform us about a scenario, and then we start planning. I think that is the perfect time to invite the players to talk with us. I actually think we should invite the players to have the conversation with public health as well, because the players are obviously going to be affected by what we hear from them. And that's something that I'll be talking about in the days ahead is, you know, can we set up some calls and share ideas with each other, just listen to each other, and then start getting more and more specific in the planning process. So that's really what, you know, that's really what we're talking about today, to use this moment now that we have a few of the variables that were unknowns before are a little more known to us today, Scott. And I think we use that to our advantage and start getting more detailed and more specific in the weeks ahead. And I'm frankly really looking forward to that.
Well, you can't have trust without transparency, and hopefully that partnership continues to build. I was trying to figure out how many variables might be involved here in trying to solve, but I think I'm all the way through the alphabet as I work out my math equation here. Hey, Randy, thank you very much for taking the time today. I know you're very optimistic about the week that was and what lies ahead in the future, and there's a lot of people across this country that feel the exact same way. Thanks for your time, and best of luck, and obviously best of health for you and yours moving forward.
Yeah, Scott, same to you and your family and to all your listeners. Look, just stay safe, stay out of harm's way. This is the great team sport we're all playing right now, helping each other get through the crisis. And I can't wait to get back out to beautiful BC and enjoy a football game with all of you in 21.